In Matthew 11, verse number 29, we'll look at two examples about Jesus, how he is meek. Again, Jesus being our ultimate example, Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, that's a place of humility. The King of Kings coming to earth and washing the feet of sinners, that's a humble job, even for a sinner, washing the feet of another sinner. We'll go any further with that. All right, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." Again, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is God on earth, but he was meek. There was nothing below Jesus to help someone that was a beggar, that was blind, again, to wash the feet, to help someone in need. He was meek and lowly of heart, born in a stable, buried in a borrowed tomb, and he's the King of the universe, and he was meek, and he says to learn of me. If you're going to learn of anyone, learn of Jesus. If you're going to try to be like anyone, maybe as a business person, learn of people in the business field, right? But if you're going to learn of anyone, learn of Jesus. How did Jesus treat people? What wisdom did Jesus use? And try to exemplify and have an example of the life of Jesus in your home, in your workplace, dealing with people. What would Jesus do in this situation? He says, learn of me. Matthew 21, verse number 5. Matthew 21, verse 5, it says, "Tell ye," and again, you can turn there if you want. We'll turn to a number of verses. It says, "Tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." Jesus coming into Jerusalem and sitting upon a donkey, sitting upon an ass, and he came in lowly. He wasn't looking for the fanfare. He wasn't looking to sit on the throne, but even Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, would give the honor and glory to God the Father. Although the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all three are one, and they are God, he would even give the glory to the Father. He was meek, he says, to learn of me, for I am meek. And he said, he is cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon the ass. I want to look at a number of verses through the Bible. Turn to Psalms 149 and look about an example of what is meekness in the Bible. Again, the closest word you may think of would be humility. But to have a meek spirit, submissive, teachable spirit that God would give to you. In Psalms 149, verse number 4. Psalm 149, verse 4, it says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." Don't you love how the King James Bible is written that God gave to us? Amen? God put every word, we don't need to change the words of God. The Bible says, he taketh pleasure in his people. That's a blessing, isn't it? In his children. He will beautify the meek with salvation. To beautify, to make more beautiful. And first of all, meekness, it's needed for salvation. That you need to humbly come before God and say, "God, I'm not good enough to go to heaven on my own. I'm a sinner deserving of hell. I don't deserve your salvation." You come to God with a meek spirit, and God beautifies you. He gives to you the beautiful and wonderful gift of a home of heaven, a child of God, of salvation. Meekness is needed for salvation. The Bible would say in Psalms 147, verse number 6, "The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth down the wicked to the ground." And the Lord lifts up the meek, those that are humble. Again, another example of humility. "And he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." But again, that God gives meekness, that meekness is needed for salvation. He beautifies you with salvation, the Bible says. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 5, we'll jump to the New Testament now. Looking at the Beatitudes here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 5. Understanding this with the subject of salvation, but those that come to God with pride And those that come to God, that they have it all figured out in regards to salvation, are not going to receive the salvation of God because they don't need God. They have it figured out on their own. But when you humbly come to God, the Bible says as a little child, and just say, God, I need you. I'm unworthy, incapable, and that gift, a beautiful gift of salvation. But then meekness, how it's shown in our lives. In Matthew 5:5, the Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we go through all the beatitudes, the blessings that God gave to us here. And blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. That the meek are blessed. And that God says that they shall inherit the earth. That you are given a blessing by God for those that are coming to God with a humble spirit. As we saw already, that God lifts up the humble. Those that humble themselves under the hand of God, that He lifts you up. But those that come in pride, that God will bring you low. So you have a choice in your life in this area of pride or humility. And it's really one or the other. And when you choose to have a meek spirit, God blesses those that are humble. God blesses those and lifts those up that come to God with a humble spirit. And not making big of myself, but making big of God. Not making big of who I've made of myself, but thanking God for what God has done in and through your life. And the Bible says, and they shall inherit the earth, that God will lift you up. You know, too many times people want to make a name for themselves. You know, everyone would know my name and would know how great I am and that I have the titles. You know, you lift yourself up and God's going to bring you down low. But when you come to God humbly and you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, realizing who God is and who you are. And this is really how it is, isn't it? God up here and me down here, only because I can't reach down any further. Under the mighty hand of God. But when you come under God and say, God, I need your help today. I need your wisdom today. I need to pray and spend time in God's word. I need your blessings today. And when you come before God that way, God says, I want to bless that child. I want to bless them. I want to help them. And God will bless us. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Would you turn back to 1 Peter chapter number 3? Meekness, number one, is needed for salvation. But number two, meekness is blessed. Meekness is blessed. God blesses and makes a big deal about those that come to Him in humility. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse number 4. I believe that this would be maybe the verse that would exemplify meekness to me in one verse. In 1 Peter 3:4, it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Isn't that beautiful how the Lord says that there? Let it be the hidden man of the heart. What comes on the inside, not just what you show on the outside. You can show whatever you want on the outside, but what's on the inside is what really matters and who you really are. But let it be the heart of man, even the ornament or a decoration, if you will, of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You ever looked at someone and said, they are so great because they're so humble? Many times you don't hear that. Oh, they are the most humble person that I've seen. Now, some people would say, I'm the most humble person that I know and I'm proud of it. But that's aside from the point. Some would actually do that and you think, I think you missed what that means. But an ornament, a decoration, or a covering, if you will, of a meek and a quiet spirit coming from the heart, which is in the sight of God of great price. That God sees a great value and great price of those that walk in humility. Those that walk in pride, God is able to abase and to bring low. But those that are humble, God wants to exalt those and make big of the name of those that come to God humbly, having a meek and a quiet spirit. That's of great price. What do you seek after that has great price? See, the wisdom of God, that has great price. But how many are seeking after wisdom? The Bible says more than of gold and silver. We need to have our perspective right as a Christian about what am I seeking after for my name, for my legacy, for the spirit that I want to have in my life and my testimony to be known by. The Bible would say it's a great price in the sight of the Lord to have a meek spirit. How do you look at that? To have a meek spirit. Meekness is of great price. Would you turn over to Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1? Looking at what meekness means in the Bible, Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Turning back just a few books. Meekness is necessary for restoration. Galatians 6, 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Speaking about those that have a brother, have a friend, maybe a church member that has fallen, someone that has walked away from the Lord and is wanting to get some things right. The prideful spirit could be, "Well, how dare you? I would never do that." And the Bible says to restore such an one, coming back with a right spirit, wanting to get right with the Lord, to restore such an one, the Bible says, in the spirit of meekness. And then it continues on to say this, "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." Before I think, "Well, I would never," be careful. Before you say, "I would never," or "this would never happen," watch out, because look what's coming around the corner your way. The Bible says when someone has fallen, they have a fault, and they want to be restored to get some things right. They want to get right with God, not covering the sin, not trying to put it away, trying to get right with God. But the Bible says, "You which are spiritual, to restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, lest God forbid that you or I be the ones to fall out of the way." And a humble spirit, instead of saying, "How dare you? You know, why should we let you back in, if you will?" Then to say, in a humble spirit, say, "I'd like to help you. I'd like to be a brother, a sister, a friend, to pray for you, to help you, to be restored, to get back and right with God, lest you be the one that falls and someone else don't help you to get back on the right track as well in your life." Meekness is necessary for restoration. To have some humility, lest God forbid I fall, or thank the Lord when I fell that someone helped me to get back on the right track in my life as well. Lest we forget where we've been or where we could be, having that humble and that meek spirit to be right with the Lord. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. A few verses here I want to show you still and give you some application at the end. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. This much of this chapter speaks about the dangers of the love of money being the root of all evil. And the challenge is not to follow after money, not to follow after possessions, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You find that in this chapter. And so the challenge is not following after riches or the things of this world, but the challenge to Timothy is this. In 1 Timothy 6:11, it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." And there's some things we need to flee and stay away from as a Christian. We need to not be entangled again with the things of the world and the riches of the world, right? Money is not bad. The love of money, that is the root of all evil. So we should flee these things, the Bible says, and then follow. So flee and follow after what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. These other ones are listed as different fruit of the Spirit as well. And the last on that list is to follow after meekness, to follow after it, to desire to be a meek spirit. Now again, you may say, "That's not my personality." Well, too bad, right? Are we going to just default with, "Well, this is just the way that I am, this is just my personality"? Meekness, as challenged here, it says, "But thou, O man of God," meekness should be sought after by a man of God or woman of God. To be a man of God or a woman of God, that you would say that you follow after God, that you would follow after righteousness. What's the rest of the list here? Godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. That would be something you would follow after or strive to have in your life, to have meekness. Meekness and humility is shown in your speech and your spirit and your facial expression sometimes, the way you go about things. You ever heard of passive-aggressive? It's kind of a little bit contradictory there. But to follow after, meekness should be sought after by a man or woman of God, someone that wants to be godly in their life, to follow after those. James 1:21 is the next verse. I'd ask you to turn there if you would. James 1 and verse number 21. James 1:21, the Bible says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Meekness is needed to receive God's word. Again, as you see, as we did in the last verse said to flee some things and to follow after righteousness. This verse in James chapter 1 said to lay apart all filthiness, to put away some things in your life. That's how the Christian life works, doesn't it? To put away some things and some add some things every day. Put away and add, kind of like your home. Put away some things, put some things in place. It's a constant battle and struggle, especially if you have little ones in your home. I just cleaned the room. What happened here? Put away. Here's what you do. You teach your kids to put them away so you don't have to keep doing it. Amen? That's a blessing. You say they didn't put it all in the right place. But if they put it away, praise God for that. Hopefully you can find it later if you need it. All right. That's aside from the point. Meekness is needed to receive God's word, to lay apart all filthiness, to put away some things, and then to receive with meekness the engrafted word. You've heard the saying before, maybe, either the Bible will keep you from sin, right? Or sin, did I say it right? Either the world will keep you from God's word, or the word of God will keep you from this world. I messed up the saying, but I think you know what I mean there, right? And I didn't write it down, obviously. But either the word of God is going to keep the wrong things out, the world, or the world is going to keep you away from the word of God. You can't have both of them. Meekness is needed to receive God's word. That humility of every day, Lord, I need you. Do you have that spirit? Lord, I need you today. Lord, I need you every day. Not just the days where you have a big appointment. Not just the days where you have a doctor's visit. Not just the days where you have a big bill due and all that. But that I need God's word in my life to get the wrong things out and to put the right things in its place. Meekness is needed to receive God's word. You ever come to the word of God and say, God, but I don't want to do that, but I'm supposed to do it. Humility is, God, I know I need it, so that's what I'm going to do. I need it. Does the word of God ever hurt you? Does it ever cut you? Does it ever in your life take something out that makes a little bit of a sacrifice or maybe separates you from a relationship? Cost a job, and then you say, God, I need your word more than I need this friendship, more than I need this job. I need to follow God's word more than anything else. That's humility. Pride thinks, but I've got to have the job. Well, yes, I'm thankful to have a job and pay the bills and all that. But you can trust God's word that God will take care of you if you obey him better than you disobeying God's word, doing what you think is best. See, that's pride. Lord, I think I know what's best. Instead of God, I'm going to trust your word. I know the Bible says I should not be handling this. So I'm going to step away from the situation because I want to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. James 3:13, just a couple chapters over. I'll have you turn to one more verse and give you some application at the end. James 3:13, wisdom is associated with wisdom. James 3:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? There's the question. Let him, this wise man, show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness and wisdom go hand in hand. God, I need you. God, I've trusted your word. I built my life upon your word, and I'm going to have wisdom and meekness to put your word into practice in my life. Trusting you that your way is best. It's associated with wisdom. Having wisdom, again, going back to the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Understand that God's way is better than my way. Amen? God's way better than my way. Maybe in your life you get to that fork in the road, literally or figuratively, and you say, God, which path do I take? If I do it God's way, it may cost me something. But doing it my way, that's going to cost me something else as well. Maybe wisdom is simply in your life, Lord, do you want me to take option A and option B? Neither is wicked, but Lord, what direction do you want me to take? Wisdom is saying, God, I want to do your will, your way. Last one is this, 1 Peter 3:15, and we'll finish with this verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse number 15, meekness is seen in your spirit and in your speech. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. To be ready to give an answer. See, meekness, that wisdom, it's shown in your speech and in your spirit. Many times you don't have to talk to someone at all or much to see what kind of spirit they have. You can just tell by their demeanor, by their facial expression, how they carry themselves. You can see that meek and quiet spirit, or in other words, you can see on the other side that prideful and hasty spirit. But having the Bible says an answer, that to give an answer to every man that asketh you, reason of the hope that lieth in you with meekness and fear, having a spirit that is humble and a speech that is humble as well, that I would say and act the way that God would have me to act. Humility comes from the heart. It's shown in your speech. It's shown in your actions, in your life. In conclusion tonight, remember this. The fruit of the Spirit comes from being controlled by God. Every day, God, I want you to control me with everything that I say or do. Control every word, every action, every step that I take. God, I need you to control me today. I don't want to mess it up. Do you portray meekness at home? Do you portray meekness in your workplace? You say, but I have to be in charge. Okay. But do you portray meekness? Jesus Christ did. He said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. He said, but I have to do this to get the job done. I understand there's a way of getting the job done, and there's a way of doing that right and godly as well, with being straightforward with it. But what about at home? Would people say that you have a meek spirit? Allow God to work on your heart and your life to have a Christ-like spirit. Again, not just this is the way that I am, but God, how do you want me to act? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to respond? He says it's going to be hard to change. That's why you walk with God and allow God to change you. Head bowed and eyes closed. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for